Cobram Estate is the most awarded Australian extra virgin olive oil. Let it be the hero when entertaining family and friends. Cobram Estate extra virgin olive oil is fresh and full of flavour. Perfect for roasting, frying, baking, dressing salads and for dipping bread. Make your food taste even better with a little help from Cobram Estate. Premium quality, great tasting and a versatile healthy alternative. Buy in store at all major retailers. Yes, welcome back to Dylan Friends. Oh my God, Q, how are you? Hey, firstly, guys, welcome to my friend Kieran Nolan from the Tee It Up podcast. His nickname's Q because when he was a junior, he used to wear a glove in footy. So they called him the big Quinton Lynch, the Q-stick.
Q-stain. Q-stick.
Q-stick. Yeah. And you know what they call you now?
Fart sniffer. One time. And it's ruined my life. But hey, what a day we've had, mate.
Mate, we're at Live at the moment. Live Golf in Adelaide at the Grange Golf Course. And we've had some... We've been giggling, haven't we?
Oh, mate.
We've had some good times together.
Dude, I've had a newborn daughter 5 weeks ago. And I'll tell you what. Forgotten her name nearly, mate. It's been a big few days. I haven't. God bless. I miss her. But wowee. What a couple of days.
It's been fantastic. And I love you.
Love you too. Thanks for including me.
I love you.
Firstly, thanks for including me to the community out there. Dill's so generous and helped me a lot. No, thank you.
We just had Lee Westwood on the podcast, and what a man he was. And yeah, it was really cool. We obviously you like to say you are a golf fanatic, so you know a lot of these things. And obviously we have Tee It Up podcast with Sean and Bordy that you do
and
the rest of the crew and Brad, of course, Bradley McGill, who's a great man. But yeah, obviously we're teaming up and. You helped me out with Lee today, which we had him on, and he was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. He's been world number one.
Can you give a quick rundown into what this guy, how good this guy is? For the avid golfer, they would know him, obviously. But for the ones who might not have heard of Lee before, like he's
probably
world class.
The greatest golfer of all time to not win a major championship. Yeah. So he's finished tied second in the Masters. Top three, like he said to us, still, in all four majors.
Yeah.
At least once. Got to knock Tiger off the perch, world number one.
We should have asked him more about Tiger.
We should have.
That was my fault.
Doesn't matter.
I wanted to ask about stupid shit.
Unbelievable. So he was a megastar, probably one of the greatest European golfers of all time.
Yeah, really cool.
So yeah, really cool.
Really cool. And I thought it was a really cool chat, like, you know, with the seriousness of golf, but then just having an absolute ripping chat with him too, who obviously a very funny guy. And big thanks to Liv and the team for letting us here. And mate, the access we've had this week has been absolutely all time. The event in itself, you know, this podcast will come out quite straight away. And if you have if you're in Adelaide and you're thinking maybe you should come on Friday or Sunday, get here. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, bigger than Ben Hur, bigger than last year. Looks fun, mate. Infrastructure's cool. It's going to be nice weather.
Yeah, great. All place. Right, check it out. Here's Lee Westwood from the Majestics. Hey, Lee, thank you so much for joining the pod,
Thanks
mate. We really
me.
Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Big fans of your work. Last night I said to you, you were looking best on at the red carpet.
I was definitely the warmest there, wasn't I? I must admit, I was in Scotland on Friday and Saturday last week and I didn't envisage that I'd need that.
Yeah, it was freezing. We played golf this morning. By the way, guys listening, we've got my good friend here, Kieran from Tee It Up podcast, one of the biggest nuffs. Now, I don't normally throw him under the bus, but I need to tell you something that's quite disgusting. This guy loves his golf,
right.
Like, really loves his golf. He loves you. I love you, but he's got a bit of a weird thing about you and most of the golfers here. Yesterday.
Man crush, is it?
It's borderline,
like here,
borderline illegal what he does. It's a bit weird.
Beard on, no beard, what should I do?
Yeah, it's weird. So yesterday we're playing golf. We were lucky enough to play with Dustin Johnson in the Pro-Am. And we're buzzing. We're like little boys. We're giggling. We're having the best time ever. I go to Q at the end of the day. What was your favorite thing of the day? He goes, man, I was standing next to DJ and he farted right next to me. He goes, that was the best moment of my life. The fact that he felt so comfortable that he could let one go
so
next to me.
So you've got a little bit of DJ inside you when you read that one, right?
Oh, I'm the envy of most golf lovers in the world, I think, Lee. It was magnificent.
Poulter's just done one in that players' meeting upstairs.
He'll go in there.
Confined space.
Yeah.
And he'll do it in the car as well.
He'll go in there and literally sniff that chair. So don't joke about that. Mate, what's it like being in Australia? Are you loving it?
Yeah, I love it down here. Come to Australia for the sun and the warm weather, they said. And here we are wearing sweaters and it's colder than I thought it'd be.
It's so hot.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Compared to last year.
Through this fucking window, it's hot.
Mate, good history here. 1997, you won the Aussie Open. You actually took the shark down at Metropolitan. Good friend Sean over here, member at Metro. What are your memories back then? I think you were 24. So good history here in Aussie, in Australia.
The first time I came to Australia was 94 for the Aussie PGA at New South Wales Golf Club and the Aussie Open at Royal Sydney. And just loved it and just wanted to keep coming back. Came back in 97, was on a good run. I'd come through Gene Sarazen World Open where I'd finished second, then gone to Japan and finished first and fourth, I think it was. And then came down here and landed in Melbourne, and the wind was blowing off the land and it was like a hairdryer. It was like 40 degrees. I could not believe how hot it was. And then 4 days later on the Friday, I think a hailstorm came over and covered the greens and we had to stop playing. So we got it all that week, but obviously remember the playoff, winning on the fourth extra hole, playing with Greg the final day. I think he had maybe a one or two shot lead playing the last couple of holes, and I think I might have birdied and parred the last, and he maybe bogeyed the last, so gave me a chance and took it. I wasn't so popular in Melbourne on Sunday night that week for some strange reason.
What do you do in those moments? One thing that I'm fascinated about with golf, I love golf, I love the mindset of golf, love playing it, but it's such a psychological game. Like you're saying, then you go into a playoff, you're playing all these playoff holes. What's been the change from maybe at the start of your career to the mindset, like on the field, off the field, to maybe now, like performance coaches and whatnot above the years? Like, has it changed a lot?
Not really. I guess as you get older, there's a few more skeletons in your mind and, you know, you've had more experiences, good ones and bad ones. You know, the good ones leave a good impression, obviously, but the bad ones you've got to try and overcome and forget about. Playoff scenario, you're trying to make a birdie, but it was a tough hole, and you're also trying not to make a bogey and give it away. So I think I made four pars and that was good enough. I think Greg bogeyed the fourth extra hole, so it was a tough hole as well. I remember it being a long par four, am I right? And the greens were rapid that week too.
Cue the Sharks here this week. I've seen him around, stumping around on the golf carts. How's he recovered with that relationship now? Is it okay?
I think he's got over it, yeah. He was a hero of mine growing up, so, you know, at that stage, he was still world number one. So it obviously meant a phenomenal amount to me to come down here, play the Aussie Open and beat the world number one, Greg Norman, that I grew up watching and idolising in a playoff.
So cool.
Fast forward to 2010, you became world number one, mate. You knocked Tiger off the perch. Yeah. 22 weeks, you're at world number one. What's it like carrying that around, going into tournaments as the main guy?
Yeah, it's interesting. You go from kind of representing yourself to representing the game of golf. You know, you're the figurehead for golf. And, you know, it's a big responsibility to shoulder. And it's such hard work to get there. And you try and cover all bases. And, you know, then you get there and you don't want to lose it. But everybody else wants it, so it's tough to stay world number one for a long time.
How have you seen it change golf over your journey? Like, you look now with Liv, you look at all the exciting things happening. You know, we're big fans of golf, and 2 years ago I would never have picked up a stick, but with the way Liv's come along, the way, like, you look at Melbourne, even with Jason Day and these fashion sort of things happening, the red carpet last night, how have you seen that sort of like transpire into like your career?
The biggest difference I think I've seen over the last 30 years, we used to be golfers and now we're sportsmen. You know, I think people treat it a lot more seriously away from the golf course, more athleticism involved in, you know, swinging the golf club. I think golfers' perceived ideal body type has changed. You know, it used to be like 5'10", Seve sort of was 5'10". Everybody said he was the right shape, height, you know, for a golfer. Now you see these guys out there, massive shoulders, big long levers, hitting the ball miles, 6'4". Partly that's to do with improvements in equipment, and other things it's to do with is the general knowledge around how players train and get fit and stay fit now. So I think that's the biggest difference I've seen, you know, along with equipment changes in the game of golf. No. Obviously, you know, that there are, you know, you see pop stars and film stars playing golf now, so it's a bit cooler to play. When I took the game up, it was a game for doctors and lawyers and civil servants. So it's certainly changed. It's not an old man's game like it was when I started playing.
There's nothing wrong with the 5'10 short kings though, Q. Just to make us, like, we do love the 6'4 beast these days, but for us short kings, the 5'10.
Are you speaking English there?
5'10. 5'10 short kings. That's what we call in Australia. You're called a short king when you're a bit, you know, vertically challenged.
Right. It's used to me.
How tall are you?
5'10.
Speaking of the generations, you've seen the best of the best. So you've gone through Faldo the Shark, into Tiger, into what we've got now with Scottie Scheffler and all those guys. What's been the key differences, you think, from those guys in the evolution? Like, what's, you see Tiger at his best, you see Scottie now doing what he's doing. Can you compare those generations and what do you think's going on there?
No, you can't really compare it. I mean, the biggest thing for me that everybody does, that they're all the hardest workers. You know, you don't get anything in the game of golf. There's so many different facets to it. You know, the work you might do in the gym, the work on the range, then that encompasses short game, bunker play, putting. Then there's the psychological stuff to do. There's so many different facets that you've just got to be a really, really hard worker to cover all those bases and not have any weaknesses. Because when you get to be the best in the world, it's plain and simple that you don't have any weaknesses in your golf game.
Yeah. Q, I'm going to go a little bit off Broadway. I know that we have our golf lovers out there, but for me, like, I love the lifestyle of golf. I love what you guys do. I love how, Liv, you've been travelling around. I know you do that for a long time, but does it lose the excitement in the end, or do you still get excited when you get to travel the world and actually know, like, what you're doing is incredible?
I mean, I've travelled the world for 30-odd years. Yeah. You know, I've always wanted to be a global player, and I've played, you know, I've won tournaments in more countries than anybody else. I think it's up to, like, 20 or 21 now. So I've always, you know, travelled a lot. I mean, I was 51 yesterday.
HBD for yesterday.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm trying to forget them. As Sergio Garcia pointed out to me, he said, you're nearer to 100 than you are to being born. I was like, thanks, mate.
That's cool.
Cheers. So after doing it for 31 years, it's probably the worst part of the game for me now, getting on an aeroplane, even though I do fly up the sharp end whenever I can.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much all the time. It's packing the suitcase and you know, dealing with the jet lag and flying. I love everything else about it. I love working hard in the gym and you know, going in balls and testing myself against the other players, although it's tough against some of these youngsters now that don't get out of bed and groan when they put their socks on. The packing the suitcase and the travel is probably the downside to it.
What do you do when you're at home? Like, what are you doing when you're downtime? I know how all-consuming elite sport can be. Like, what do you do when you're not there? You're saying before, restaurants, food, you know, you're a movie man, you like your series.
I don't really watch too many films. Wow. I will watch them now and again. I mean, Netflix is great, isn't it?
Yeah. Series, you know, though?
What did I watch recently? White Horses. You seen that?
I haven't seen that one.
You should watch that. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
I don't think it's on Netflix. I think it might be Apple TV, that one. Gary Oldman in that.
Okay.
Ted Lasso, you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso was great. I'm a big football fan, you know. Yeah. Horse racing, I've got a good few horses at the moment. Probably too many, I would say. Shares in about 20 to 25.
Any big winners?
Over the years, I've had some really big winners, over jumps and on the flat. So, I've been lucky.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
Have you been out here to the Spring Carnival or anything like that? Were you ever planning on doing that now with the Live
schedule?
No,
the Melbourne Cup's on my bucket list. Yeah, first Tuesday in November.
Yeah, man, sensational.
Do you know what's funny about the Melbourne Cup is, like, it's in Australia, that's like the most bogan thing you can ever do is go to the Melbourne Cup.
Really?
But I know internationally it's rated as like a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Just
not cool.
No, I don't think it's not. Would you say that's not as cool? Like, I think like the other days are a bit better.
Yeah.
Like Emirates. Derby
Day's the best. Derby Day's the best every year.
Right. Black and white. Phenomenal. Very cool.
So come for a week and go all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do the whole thing.
Do the what? Do the
play
week.
Some golf in between.
Oh, you can. If you can get out of bed.
Yeah, definitely. Q, one more I just got is favourite golf courses in Victoria. Like, do you, or Australia, mind you. Like, have you got any favourites that you've played?
Well,
just in comps, but around?
I love Metropolitan. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you always love places where you've won.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love Metro. Royal Melbourne is one everybody always talks about, isn't it? But it's a composite course, so I never really know how to rate that one. You know, they've used two different courses, so but it is a special place to go and play golf. I mean, Kingston Heath, Huntingdale, you've got choices, so many good ones in the Melbourne area that Yeah, it's the views from New South Wales Golf Club are incredible, aren't they? We played there.
No. We're going there next week, actually. Yeah. Will and I are going to Sydney to watch the AFL. Have you heard of the AFL?
Yeah, it's on there tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Are you going to go?
Yeah.
Oh, Port versus
I'm just
Saints.
A lover of sport, really? You know, and any sport done at a high level. So, you know, I like watching sport played well.
Have you been to AFL before?
No.
Oh, man, that's exciting. Adelaide Oval is one of the best places to watch from as well. So, it's exciting.
Can we just go back to your golf career?
Sorry, I get sidetracked.
So, near misses
it's
in majors.
It's so boring when we talk about golf.
I like farts and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
But, mate, you've had one of the great careers. Like, majors, you've tied second in the Masters twice, the Open, near misses, PGA, US Open. How do you recover from that as a pro golfer? Like, you know, getting so close to winning a major. Yeah,
not winning them.
Yeah.
I finished top three in all of them without winning one. And, I think you just try and do your best at that particular time, and that's all that I've done. And you know, you can't do any more than that. Sometimes, you know, I've not played well when I've needed to. Other times somebody's played better, notably Phil at the Masters in 2010, and then I three-putted the final green at Turnberry in the Open in 2009. So, you know, I feel like I've given a couple away. Probably should have won the US Open at Torrey Pines in 08. Given a couple away, but also had, you know, a couple taken off me. So
It's the beauty of the sport, really, isn't it? Like, it just swings around bouts.
Yeah, the great thing about golf is there's so many variables. I think, I play, my son's turned pro and I play golf with him, and he'll hit a shot and he'll go, oh, you'll play, and I'll go, how do you play today? He went, oh, da, da, da. It's just not fair. I said, mate, if you want fair, you have taken up the wrong sport, because there's nothing fair about golf. You know, you go out there and you might feel crap in the morning and go out and shoot 64, you know, or you might feel great and hit it great on the range and go out and shoot 74. Yeah. Oh, 94.
Oh, that'd be a nice day, actually. 94. I'd like that. Have you found being a dad with a son, you know, coming through the ranks now as well? Has that been fun, enjoyable, stressful? Like, do you?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I enjoy watching him not suffer, but experience the trials and tribulations of trying to play professional golf. You know, it's not the easiest thing to do, and probably not even harder when, you know, you've got a parent that's been successful at it. You know, the people always compare him to me, so I've told him to, you know, just be his own person and be the best Sam Westwood he can be.
Yeah, it's a good call. Sorry, just on that as well, with sports, you were saying before you're a lover of team sports, and one thing I love about Liv is how you can be in teams, and individual sports always been really crazy. I heard Daniel Ricciardo say something once that really stuck with me, because in team sports, you can have the best day of your life, but your team can lose. Or you can have the worst day of your life, but your team can win. Whereas in golf, you sort of, if you're playing well, you win. If you're playing bad, you don't. How have you found, like, playing as an individual, which, you know, realistically you always are, but then with Liv now being in a team, do you love both parts of it?
Yeah, well, there's only the Ryder Cup, really, where you play team golf, before Liv. You try and help your teammates that week, but I found in Liv, you know, you definitely come together as a team, and, you know, you've got a vested interest. I have a vested interest in Henrik playing well and Ian playing well and Sam playing well. So, you know, we definitely try and help each other. You know, they've given me a putting lesson in Hong Kong, and, you know, if they say, will you take a look at my swing? You know, I'll take a look at their swings. You're always trying to encourage and help it along. So that's something that not really encountered in 30 years of playing golf around the world. I've always had my friends out here, but you're always playing against them as well, so, you know, there's never that sort of volunteering of information too often, but in this it's nice to, you know, come together and battle it out as a foursome. And, you know, when you are going round, maybe if you're not playing well, or you've not played well the first 2 days, you're looking at the leaderboard to see how the others are getting on and see what position you are as a team, and, you know, see if you can make an impact on the final day for the team.
Ryder Cup, yourself and your mate Paltz, amazing history. I think you played in 11. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about him, mate. Jeez,
and I thought you'd done your research.
Mate.
We have to update Wikipedia, aren't we?
He's not doing any research. So, I'm really sorry.
Obviously, the move to Liv has almost ruled you out of that, just with the world rankings and things like that. Sitting back watching Europe dominate last year and all the young kids come through, the legacy that you've left with Poults, does that sort of fill your cup up and make you feel great about?
I think, you know, that sort of thing. I think my playing in the Ryder Cup was over. I had a chance to be captain and didn't want to do it that time round, and then came to live, and that's almost become a, you know, I'm not going to get the Ryder Cup captaincy now, but, you know, it's a choice you make. But it is nice to see, you know, the young kids come through, and, you know, there's people on that team that I played in teams with that, you know, maybe asked for my advice and, you know, watched me as they were growing up playing Ryder Cups and things like that. And those guys remember Medina on the final day and stuff like that, so they can use that and use that confidence going into Ryder Cups that they're now playing in Italy, and then the next one in New York, which would be tough for the Europeans to win.
So
it definitely, the success of previous Ryder Cup teams definitely breeds success in future Ryder Cup teams. Because they've watched us, they definitely go into them now feeling like they've got a better chance, I would think.
Well, you've laid the foundation of like a legacy and sort of culture. How did you see the boys after they won, getting out on the party bus and things like that? Did you sort of place yourself there? Was it like that when you won them and all that sort of stuff?
I probably went harder.
They don't go as hard. They don't build them like they used to, Q.
They don't. Who would have been the first to bed out of that crew last year?
The last one?
Yeah.
Do you know, I
who can't. Cares? Losers.
Yeah.
You know, it was my favourite episode of Full Swing. I don't know if you watched Full Swing. Did you watch
no,
it?
No, I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it. No. So that episode where...
they're all boring. I don't want to
watch them. They're awesome. I don't know. And I apologise if
you're a right golfer, aren't you?
I really like this. You can't smell it.
Full Swing.
You can't smell it through the TV, but you feel like you're
like
there.
Dustin Swartz.
Like this fight.
Yeah.
But my favourite episode was the Ryder Cup one when Europe obviously won. And I don't know if you know this guy, so I apologise if you do, but that's Zach from US.
Zach Johnson.
He's such a flog, man. That was like, he was, do you know him?
I know Zach.
Okay, I love him too. He's a good guy, but he didn't present well. I wanted Europe to win. Right. There's that American arrogance sometimes that they have, and I was like, I just want, you know, you guys to win, and they did. So
I feel like the rest of the world want Europe to win, though.
Yeah, they do.
You know, South Africans come to me and they say we want Europe to win.
It's always
only Americans want America to win.
And we team up with in the President's Cup and everything like that. So it's everyone versus the US.
When I'm watching the President's Cup, I want the rest of the world to win.
Well, if you had have seen that episode, though, the way they put it together, they were really against it. They came in so confident.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah.
Strong team, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got to turn up and play.
You do.
Which...
Yeah, and the Europeans were on. Rory was on.
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Mate, you've been so generous with your time. I genuinely appreciate it. We want you to go out, absolutely smash it this week, and genuinely thank you for your time. I know we're not the most polished crew. Q's done a great job, but we can't thank you enough. You're an absolute star, and best of luck.
Pleasure. Thanks, Lee. Absolute pleasure, mate. Cheers. Thank you.